Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, the Gen X-centered pop culture podcast that covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, comedy, podcasts, books, if you read, as long as we like them. I'm your host, Tim Andrews, a regional semi-famous Atlanta radio personality. And with me today is co-host Jeff Lieboff. And our guest this week, we're joined by internationally famous comedian, writer, director, and actor Steve Byrne, who joins us to talk about his new movie, which he wrote and directs, and comes to select theaters and video on demand Friday, the 16th of October. It's called The Opening Act. And Steve, thanks for taking time to come on the show with us tonight.
You got it. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And by international, you mean like Thunder Bay, Canada, right? I mean, that's as far as I go, but that's okay. Yeah.
Maybe the Yucatan as well. So we'll
Nova Scotia. Yeah. Yeah.
Nova Scotia. What? I've never been up there. You must have been to Canada. As a comedian.
I've been to Canada quite a bit, but I watch Curse of Oak Island all the time, and I think that's probably why I said Nova Scotia.
Where are you from originally? I know you've told us, but
Born in Freehold, New Jersey. Grew up in Pittsburgh.
That's right. I knew you were a Pittsburgh guy. I remember.
I got my Civic Arena, you know, igloo shirt from where the Penguins used to play. So,
you still watch the NFL? Do you watch the Steelers? Are you into that?
I watch the Steelers, but the Penguins are my team. I love the Penguins. You guys had the Thrashers for a second.
Mm-hmm. They're the one.
Yeah. Nobody went to the game, so they left.
Nope. We went to a couple. I used to get, when I worked in promotions and radio, we always had them to give away because nobody went.
Yep. So
I would go to the games down there. And it was fun, but, you know, because I'm from the North, so we grew up liking college hockey and pro hockey and
Atlanta was waiting for a soccer team.
Yeah, yeah. Now we have one of those.
Oh, nice.
Atlanta United. I love the names of the teams. They don't really. They're all like Washington's football team now. The soccer team from Atlanta.
Yeah, there's no real good mascots in soccer. It's like the Galaxy. It's like, what are you gonna a large gassy object to put in? It's like that's horrible. It's a horrible like Penguins. You got a mascot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bulls, you got a mascot. But, yeah, soccer's the worst, I think, in terms of that.
The only time I've ever been to the Igloo was to see WWE wrestling. At the time, it was WWF.
Yeah.
Never made it down there for a game.
But it was a great little spot. It was very intimate, and, you know, it was called the Igloo because it was this big gray shell casing, but the shells would pop open. It was originally built for an orchestra, like a summertime orchestra. So you'd get the outdoors, you get some fresh air, and the entertainment. And then I think 2 years into it, it never opened because it got stuck and they just said, the hell with it.
So the last time we spoke to you was about your documentary, Always Amazing, which is available right now on YouTube.
Yes.
But this movie, The Opening Act, is scripted. So it's not.
You got to pay for it now. You got to pay.
You got to pay.
There's investors this time. It's not just me.
Yes. How much of it is autobiographical? I can't say the word. How much is it autobiographical?
I'd say everything in the film is autobiographical once the lead character, Will Chu, gets in his car and drives to the venue. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was just like, you know, I thought a fun kind of rootable narrative that I thought would be created. But once he's on the road, it all happened. You'll see things in this film. You're like, there's no way. It's like, oh, yeah, way. It happened. I got battle scars to prove it. So I think that's the fun thing is, you know, whether it's radio, whether it's ending up in the woods under a trailer or a thousand different things that happen to the main character throughout the course of the film, I've had cast members that have seen it, that have had screening links that they either text me or call me the same three things. It's verbatim. It's, I loved it. It was very authentic. And now I have to go see a therapist because you re-triggered all these awful memories from early on in my career. So I thought, okay, I think we're off to a good start here.
Yeah, I enjoyed the trailer. Actually, when I laugh in a trailer, I know that I'm going to laugh in the movie and enjoy the movie.
Oh, good, because we didn't give anything away in the trailer. There's some big scenes in this that we didn't give much away. So I'm glad to hear that.
Was it Nikki Glaser in the radio scene?
That was Eliza Schlesinger.
All right, my bad. I'm sorry.
That's okay. They all look the same, all those Karens.
All those white chicks.
Yeah.
No, but that line she said, which it escapes me, but I just burst out laughing because it was just unexpected. Oh, she said, that's not funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a little bit more to the interaction for sure. That scene's a long scene. And it happened because I think when you're younger, you go on the road and you're put into a trial by fire with all these incidents, whether it's hecklers, bachelorette parties, doing morning radio, which most people don't assume is part of it. You know, you've been to a comedy club, you've never been on the road. And that's what this film fulfills the promise of, showing you the experience of it. And the second time I ever did radio, the first time was Howard Stern. It did not go well. I should have never have done Howard Stern. I wish somebody said, don't go do it. It's your first time. Get a few more reps in. And then the second time I did it, it was in Los Angeles at KLOS, Frank, Heidi, and Frosty. And I bombed so bad on the air. They kicked me off while we were on the air. They kicked me off. Security escorted me out of the building. And I went a block down the street because Sebastian Maniscalco lived there at the time. I knocked on his door. He goes, what's wrong? I go, turn on the radio. Turn on the radio. And we listened to them bash me. I'm telling you, bash me for 20 minutes. They just eviscerated me, my career, no charisma, all this stuff. And I remember they cut to commercial break and Sebastian was holding a cup of coffee. He goes, what the fuck did you do, guy? I was like, oh my God, the whole city heard it. You know, you think impending doom, my career's over, all that stuff. But that was just one slice of like all the things that happened at the beginning of my career that I compacted into 90 minutes.
Now, you did the regular guy show a couple of times in Atlanta, right?
Yes, I did. Yes.
And I forget which club you were playing. It was either the Punchline or...
It was the Punchline, yeah. And then I did the Improv once before that shuttered up. That closed pretty quickly, too, by the way.
Yeah. It was open for a little while, but yeah, they closed.
Yeah, weird location. Pandemic.
Pardon, Jeff?
They closed pre-pandemic. There wasn't...
That area got all redeveloped for rich people. They wanted to make it kind of like a Beverly Hills shopping area.
Yeah.
And it looks that way, but I don't go there because I can't afford that kind of shit. The Target, you know what I mean? Target or Walmart.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened to the original Punchline location, too. The rent, like, tripled or something, so they had to move.
I kind of like the new location. I like that diner. There's a good vibe in there. It seems like it feels like you're working a road room you would have worked in the 1980s in that club. I really like it.
A lot of Greek people and big pieces of cake.
That's right. Best staff in the world, and
they're awesome.
Well fed all the time. It's the best.
Back in the 90s, we would go there after going to comedy clubs, and because it's open 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then that's when you're in there late at night. That's when you see the strippers coming in and the late night people. Late night people are the most interesting people.
Vampire hours. Yeah. Landmark Diner, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Love it.
So are you getting back out on the road?
Here and there. My calendar really kicks up in November because things keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed. So, you know, hopefully I get to go out there. The crazy thing is before this all hit, the very last week before everything hit, my daughter is at the age now where she's aware. And she said to me after, you know, me disappearing for 40 weeks, years, you know, Daddy, do you have to keep leaving? I miss you. I love you. And then I'm pulling out of the driveway and she's crying and she's at the window and she's crying. And I'm just like, every fiber of me just wants to throw the car in park and run in and be a good dad and be like, I'm not going. I love you. But of course you got to keep the lights on. And yep. So I go off on the road. I come back home. That week, pandemic hits. We're in quarantine. And for months, I'm enjoying it. And around the six-month mark, I'm like, what fountain did you throw a quarter in to wish your father to be home? Because you started a global recession. Small businesses are closing. It's all my fucking daughter's fault. So I'm going to find that fountain and drain it, okay?
She said, please spread the virus all over the United States and the world so dad can stay home.
That's right. That's what happened.
Does she go to school or is she at home still?
Well, she's a virtual student now because California, everything's online. So,
okay. We're except for Lakers celebrating.
Yeah. Nothing got burned, which was nice. So,
yeah.
Nice, you know.
So, did you have to shoot any of the movie during the pandemic or was it all just post-production you were working on?
Yeah, a little bit of post, but I got to tell you, we filmed the film in 2018. Spent most of 2019 editing it, and then coming into 2020, it was pretty much done. We're going to premiere at the Just for Last Festival in Montreal, and then the shit hit the fan, right? And it all went to hell, and then we staggered out when we're going to release it, and then it was just like, you know, this doesn't seem to end anytime soon. There's been a dearth of great comedies being released during this pandemic. We thought, we got a comedy, let's put it out there, because people want to go to comedy clubs and people want to laugh, and maybe this could be a nice holdover for the in the meantime. So we're pretty proud of it. I think we pulled it off.
I'm super looking forward to it, that's for sure.
Well, thank you very much, my friend.
Was it harder making a scripted movie than doing a documentary, or was it easier?
I'll tell you what, I think this was easy only because when I had to have, like, for example, the radio scene, and I call up Russell, Eliza, and Brooks, and I say, I didn't have to tell actors this is what comedians experience when they do morning radio. I didn't have to explain almost anything. So they all knew the scenes, everybody. So it was pretty easy to go, all right, let's just try it out, right? Let's just try it. And the toughest thing for me was keeping my day. That was the toughest thing, because we're an independent film, $2.5 million budget, which sounds like a lot. And we're doing 12 pages a day when most films are doing 6 to 7, and like a Marvel film would do 1 or 2, you know, because it's so expansive and big. So we were running and gunning, and I just didn't have time to muck around. I had to keep it on track.
When you, going back to like last year, before all this came down, you're still touring. So were you out every weekend going to comedy clubs when you weren't working on a movie or working on other projects?
Yeah, the only time I really took off was when we were in production. We're post-production. The first, I think, 3 months, I took myself off the road. And then I would edit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Peter Billingsley and Vince would kind of come in, but the editor had like assignments to take care of. And then that would just go on for another few months. And then I had a pocket of time where, as we were wrapping it up, I pulled myself off the road. It was weird, because that's how the film got written. You know, I wrote the film after Sullivan and Son, and I thought, what's the one thing I've always wanted to see? I want to see a great film about stand-up comedy. And that was my goal. And gave it to Vince and Peter. They liked it. And they said, you know, we're going to need to finesse this. And I spent 6 to 8 months. What I would do is I'd sit down with Vince or Peter on a Monday. I'd get notes from them. I'd hit the road Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'd work on it in the hotel. I'd come back Sunday. Monday, I'd meet with them again. Same thing, just over and over and over again, until we finally got to a place where it was like, all right, let's take this out now.
So just before we move on, and I don't know if we said it at the beginning or not, I know we were kidding when you came on, Peter Billingsley, if people don't know, is Ralphie, right? From A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was friends with him for a month until somebody told me, you know, that's Ralphie. I was like, what?
Really?
And I looked at him and was like, oh my God, it's Ralphie. it was the weirdest thing. But he looks like him. But I just, for some reason or another, just didn't even think about it. I didn't put two and two together, like an idiot.
And he's been a successful producer for a very long time.
He's producing the Marvel movies and stuff now.
Yeah. He was on the original Iron Man, so he helped kick off the cinematic universe. So when you're talking to him about notes in the film and you see the bust of the original Iron Man on his desk, it's like, I think I should listen to his advice. I think he knows what he's talking about.
So, go ahead.
Was just down here shooting that Freaky Friday horror movie that he's got coming out.
That's right. Vince has a film coming out in November, and I remember he was a little trepidatious because he's not necessarily a horror fan, because he doesn't like seeing those kinds of things, right? But I think this was too good of an opportunity for him to pass up, and really gave him the chance to spread his wings and see, can you pull this off? And I think, based on everything I've heard behind the scenes, I think he's pulled it off. And to get a tweet from Stephen King saying, you know, Vince did a great job and he can't wait to see it, I was like, wow, holy cow, Stephen King. It doesn't get much better than that. And Blumhouse is pretty awesome. They got a great track record.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, we talked to an actor friend of ours in town last week, and he said that things are starting to slowly open up again. So, but they have to have a COVID officer with them all the time, a compliance officer, to make sure people are, you know, washing their hands and wearing masks and stuff.
Yep. Jimmy O Yang is in Vancouver right now, and I know he gets tested 3 times a week.
Wow, nose test.
Nose test, yeah. Oh, nose swab, which is not, it does not sound like fun.
It is. Oh, so you haven't had it yet? I've had it three times. It's
not fun. You've had it? Okay. I guess I'm just like a dope where I'll go and I've had a handful of road gigs and I get to the I get to the hotel and they take your temperature with one of those guns. I'm like, I guess I don't have it.
That's good philosophy to have. Hey, I'm fine.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's like having unprotected sex in your 20s. It's like, yeah, I guess this is okay, right?
Yeah, especially if you started college in 1988.
That's right. Yeah.
Mansfield, Pennsylvania. Not a hot spot for HIV in the 80s.
Yeah, there you go.
Have you ever heard of that town?
That's where we're from.
I have not heard of that town at all, no. And I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah, so
it's all the way up really at the top, like almost in New York State.
Hour from Williamsport, straight shot north. You know Williamsport, the Little League.
I do know Williamsport, yeah.
Yeah. Not much going on in Mansfield, but there is a state school there. So
there you go.
Yeah, we played Clarion. I'm sure you know Clarion.
I've had many friends go to Clarion University, and that was one where I was like, I wish I could go there, but I couldn't get into any Pennsylvania schools. I got into Kent State University. I got into two schools, Wright State and Kent State. And Wright State was all the way on the other side of Ohio. Kent State was closer to Pittsburgh. And I was like, that's where I'll go. And that's how I decided. I'd never even been to campus until my first day. I didn't visit it like an idiot. So
you didn't even go to Kent State. All you knew about it was the shootings and the
that's right, yeah.
National.
And showed up and I was like, oh, that seems pretty cool. I had a good time. 4.5 years, I got it done.
Talk about not going anywhere. Jeff and I went to elementary school, junior high school, and college in the same town.
So oh my God.
Yeah, we didn't get out of there for a while. But we did get bit by the comedy bug there. The first two comedians we ever saw, well, that I ever saw live with Jeff, the first one was Steve Landisberg, and the second one was Robert Klein.
Oh, that's not bad. I mean, Robert Klein, geez.
And he let us hang out with him, and I, you know, he wouldn't take any pictures. He goes, no, you're going to send it to the Inquirer, and I'm going to have a weird face. But he was fun dealing with little kids. So let's talk about the cast.
Sure.
The opening act. You have Jimmy O. Yang, who is really, really popular right now. And
doing well for himself, yeah.
Yes. Ken Jeong, who is an actor. Does he still do comedy, or does he just act?
He does a lot. For most people that don't know who Ken is, Ken jumped out of the trunk naked in The Hangover and set Asians back another 3.5 inches. That's how I refer to Ken Jeong.
I was happy to see that. I'm like, hey, I could get in a movie now.
Yeah. That's right.
You could be a stand-in at least.
It's the Irish curse. It's not just Asians, my friend.
Well, I'm Korean and Irish, so it's a double whammy.
Oh, sorry. I hope you break the mold, though. You know,
no complaints so far, which is always code for, I think this is okay, right?
Yeah, sure. They're not going to say anyway. You get Jermaine Fowler, Tom Segura, Bill Burr.
Yeah, super hot right now. Awesome job on Saturday Night Live this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a matter of just kind of like going down my phone saying, who looks like a skanky cop? Oh, Segura. Hey, Tom. Are you available this Saturday? It was literally kind of like that. So it was great. I think Bill was one of the, I think Bill was the first comic I called as I was casting this. And I needed someone who looked like they could run an office. And Bill's got that. He can shift gears pretty quickly. And I just called him up. I said, could you do this for a day? He said, absolutely. And once Bill was attached, I think it made a lot more of the calls a lot easier afterwards.
Yeah.
Have you checked out the Comedy Store documentary on Showtime at all?
I have not. I'm there every night of my life, you know, when I'm not on the road. Right. So I've heard most of the stories. I live it every week and see all the same guys. So, you know, I haven't checked it out yet, but I heard nice things about it. So maybe at some point down the line I will when I eventually get Showtime.
I figured you must be working there quite a bit, living out there, so.
Yeah, there all the time. And there's something special about that place. It's a great, you know, much like the Comedy Cellar, there's two kind of like places you want to pass to feel like you're part of the comedy scene. And right now in Los Angeles, when I first moved there, it was the Improv. And right now it's the Comedy Store. And in New York City, it's always been the Cellar. There's just something about those bones right. That you want to do well in.
Now, when the pandemic is over, when it goes away and we're allowed to go back out again, which we all hope happens soon, yeah. Or at least next year would be nice. Do you think that stand-up comedy is just going to have a huge resurgence? Because a lot of things people aren't doing right now. Movies are dead. Movie theaters are dead. I mean, yeah. Well, not this weekend they aren't. But
good time to release one, right?
Well,
People are making a killing on this video on demand, though.
Yeah. But my point was that people want to go out and socialize, and where better to socialize than in a comedy club? You can laugh, you can have some drinks, you can, you know, meet the comic, go with your friends, that kind of thing. I can't tell you the last time we went to a show. Do you remember, Jeff?
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah, and I'm itching to get back out. I know Marshall Childs, who runs the Laughing Skull Lounge in Atlanta, mm-hmm. He's doing some socially distanced stuff at a larger venue that's nearby. And, you know, people are starting to come in and get involved again. So just any kind of human interaction, especially laughter, is just something I'm looking forward to.
Punchline's open, too, with half capacity.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, look, I think that anytime there's something communal, and especially it's communal and bad like this is, I think the last time we dealt with it was probably 9/11. Mm-hmm. I think that is where we've had just a release via stand-up comics. Stand-up comics are kind of speaking for the everyman in terms of their experiences. And throughout the course of the country, from the West Coast to the East Coast, you have a plethora of great, really talented people that will take their experiences, and someone will be able to relate to Gaffigan's take or Whitney Cummings' take or Bill Burr's take, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we are the gasket relief for all this. And when it does come back and people are allowed to go back and people feel comfortable to go back, I think the clubs will be packed more than ever, because we are the conduits of, you know, layman's terms of what you're going through, and we'll find a humorous way to dispel it. Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah. I remember when it first broke, but people weren't yet sequestered in their homes. Norm MacDonald did a brief bit, and you could see it on YouTube, where he was talking about the virus, and he sounded so like it was a catastrophe waiting to happen. Hey, you know, we're all going to die. But to my point, the conduit of, okay, this horrible thing is about to happen to our country, is happening right now, and here are some jokes. You got to laugh. And that's where
I'm at. And I think Bill Burr was a part of that when he did his SNL monologue. I mean, that Rick Moranis joke was so goddamn funny. I laughed out loud. I never laugh out loud watching stand-up comedy on TV. It takes a lot for me to laugh out loud. And not only that, but I also played roller hockey with Rick Moranis when I was starting stand-up comedy on the Upper West Side in New York City. So it really, really made me laugh, because he's such a sweet, nice guy. And to know that he, of all people, got sucker punched and burst like, "We're back, baby, New York." Like, so funny.
Such a hilarious take on it, because everybody was outraged over that.
Yeah.
I loved it, man.
Who the hell punches Rick Moranis?
Yeah. And you did a great job on Tell 'Em Steve Dave last week. I heard you on there.
Oh, thank you. I love the Impractical Jokers. I think those guys are so talented. The show is so funny. The movie is great. And I think they deserve a lot more credit from the industry than the industry gives them. The fact that they have a film coming out and could only get on one late night talk show, it's astounding to me. I think we have a movie here, and you look at the cast, you look at all the stand-up comics, there isn't one late night talk show that's going to have on a film that has all these great comics that represent stand-up comedy to promote it. It's crazy. And these progressive darlings like Trevor Noah and Colbert preach these progressive values in terms of diversity. And it's like, you have a film written and directed by an Asian American. The lead is an Asian American. The co-star is an Asian American with Ken Jeong. And then you have one of the most diverse casts I've ever seen. And you won't have any of us on to promote this thing. To me, it's really just, there's a lot of hypocrisy with those late night talk shows. And something I think is just like, okay, it is what it is. We'll make do. But ultimately, it's always going to be the people that decide how this is viewed and taken. So I think we have a pretty good chance at this.
Does Conan O'Brien continue that tradition, though? I would think that he might be somebody that would say, yeah, come on, let's talk, let's laugh, let's talk about this movie.
Nope.
No.
Nope. I think he was forced to have me on his show when Sullivan & Son was on. Mm-hmm. I could tell he didn't necessarily want me on the show. And then for the next three seasons, we begged for anybody to be on the show to represent. It's like, Brian Doyle Murray, who wrote Caddyshack, isn't good enough to come down to the studio. It was just mind-blowing to me. And I think that, especially with Conan, there is a, I guess a kind of, a snobbiness, I suppose, is the right word.
Really?
They appreciate more of the more kind of like the alt comics than traditional mainstream comics. They have a very, I guess, snobby palate. So,
I didn't know there were still alt comics around. I thought every one of them had become mainstream now. Like Patton Oswalt used to be an alt comic, but now he's, well, he's on Twitter a lot. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, look, late night talk shows don't even mean as much as they used to anymore. So to do podcasts, that's kind of you'll get more outreach by a podcast. And once I pivoted and recalibrated to thinking that way, I was like, well, I'm in good hands because a lot of my friends are having me on their podcast. So I'll be fine. The film will get out there.
Well, I'm glad.
I hope we can help friends. Spread the word a little.
I appreciate that. I hope so too.
Podcasting is fantastic for something like this because, like you just said, you have a lot of friends and there's a bunch of different podcasts out there. And let's face it, they're going to reach more people that are interested in what you have to offer.
That's right. And I would love it if I knew the reality of what you guys are doing, because you went to grade school, junior high school, and college together. And I would love it if you were actually podcasting in the same house, in the same township together, and he was just right next door. That would make me laugh so hard.
Oh, we're going to have to do that, Jeff. We're going to have to go up to Mansfield because it's in Pennsylvania, so we'll have to wait until the lockdown's over.
That's right.
That would have been 10 years ago. We could have done it.
Well, we could go drive up
from our bedrooms.
Yeah. We never lived together there. We lived together. No, we did live together for a short while. We lived together. His mom, Jeff's mom, used to say, "Why don't you two get married?" And this was before it was legal.
Well, I support your lifestyle, guys, no matter what you want to do, okay?
A couple of lazy Gen Xers. That's right. We're a match made in heaven.
Steve, we just want to listen to Oasis and play Star Fox on Nintendo 64. Leave us alone.
Yes. We're happily married.
Yeah.
Jeff, did you have any more questions?
No, I'm good. Thanks for coming on, and tell everybody where they can go to check out the trailer. And
sure, you can go to YouTube, see the trailer. The film releases in select theaters, which means if you live in a red state, I suppose you can see it. If you care about your health and the health and safety of others, I guess what you could do is you could just watch it on Amazon, iTunes, wherever you stream video on demand.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Steve Byrne. It was a pleasure talking to you again. Anytime you have anything you want to talk about or promote, send Jeff a note and we'll get you on. We'd love having you.
You got it, buddy. Thank you guys so much, and be best to you guys and your family and loved ones.
You too.
All right, take care, guys. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Now's the time we thank all of our Radio Labyrinth producers. Producer is a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member who donates $25 a month or more to our podcast. So, without further ado, thank you Chad Shepherd, who is also a sponsor, who comes in at the $50 mark, and we appreciate it very, very much. Chad has been a member since October 6th, 2017, and we love you for it. Also, thank you to Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom. Eric has been with us for almost 4 years. John Sutherland, member since 2018. Keith Tate, since October 14th, 2016. Matt Carter, since November 12th, 2016. Mike D, since August 1st, 2018. Sean Hall, since April 22nd, 2018. Todd Ellis, a member since January 19th, 2020. He's the youngest one. And last but not least, Emily Warren, who joined up on May 19th, 2018. Thank you to each and every one of you so very much.
Well, thank you very much to Steve Byrne, which we pre-recorded, Jeff and I, and we really hope you enjoyed that interview. He was a good guy, man.
Yeah.
Taking a half hour with us. There's Ira. Ira's with us this week.
Hello.
Hello, Ira. What are you doing? You're eating a burrito.
Yeah, I was half eating a burrito. It's dinner time over here. The Malkin household.
Yes, it's a completely different time zone where Ira is over.
on the west side of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And here we are doing our podcast and not watching the Braves or the Buffalo Bills, who are playing right now. But I'm not paying attention to that
game. They're playing on Thursday.
No, they're playing tonight against the Tennessee Titans and hopefully winning.
Are you recording it?
Thursday.
No, I'm not recording it. I'll just look at my phone throughout the show and check the score.
Oh, that'll be entertaining.
Hey. So, Yeah, thanks again to Steve Byrne. That was really awesome of him. Hey, guys, I've been pushing the Patreon. I just updated all the tiers, so now you can see exactly what you're getting. Everybody who is at the $5 and above level is due a Radio Labyrinth sticker and a Radio Labyrinth pin that we just got, Jeff's artwork. The pin is a tribute to the Goonies. Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
And you guys see this? Jeff did a good job on that one. See, there it is. And of course, if you're listening at home, you can't see it. And then the other one is this nice circular sticker.
Nice work, Jeff.
Yeah, this is what Jurassic Park. So all of our stickers and pins are going to be themed. And you know what? I got a bonus offer from Sticker Mule today, so I went ahead and ordered the Starbucks logo tribute that Jeff did. So you're going to get 3x3 stickers for that, which we'll have for next month. But we're going to try to keep these going and get them out to you. So make sure that if you are on Patreon and you support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TimAndrews, that you go there and send me a message and include your address so I can drop these in the mail. About 4 or 5 of you have already responded, and I know there's a lot more. So, you know, hey, let us see.
Everybody loves swag.
Everybody loves swag, especially free swag.
Swag is a way of life.
I love swag.
Did it change from swag to swag at one time, or has it always been swag?
We called it swag years ago, and now it's just swag.
Huh. I think swag was too Jewish, and everybody said, you know what, we got to...
No, we called them tchotchkes, and then it would be Jewish.
We had to gentrify it.
We're going to send out some tchotchkes with Southside Steve. He's going to be doing a remote live from the Jewish Film Festival. It's going to be amazing. Southside, he's not Jewish, but he loves us so much.
I think I'm finding issue with this schwag. It sounds too much like schmuck or schmiel. I don't like that.
Schmuck, schmiel.
Yeah.
You're cocking off and yum.
Oi, come on.
Oi, come on. Jawohl. Oh, wait, that's German. No, that's not good. Don't mix German with Yiddish.
Oi, come on.
I don't know. Oi, come on. Yeah.
Oi, come on. I like that.
Guys, so yeah, do that if you're a Radio Labyrinth patron. If you'd like to become one, you can go to Radio Labyrinth. I'm sorry, you can go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. Also follow us on social media, YouTube. We actually have our own URL now, so that is just youtube.com/Radio Labyrinth. And thank you to Dustin Lawler for all the work that you've been doing. Also, if you are a Patreon member at a certain level, you can check out our RLP recasts, and we are going to be recording a new one tonight. And yeah, so check that out. Steph is not with us again this week, and I wanted to just say briefly that we all send out prayers and our hearts to her for her loss. She had a passing in her family. She lost her brother last week, and it's been pretty rough. And so, if you're friends with her on social media, you know, maybe send her a message and you know, just, you know, tell her that you hope she's doing all right. It's very sad when something like that happens.
Yeah.
We've all experienced that kind of loss in our life, and it's really tough when somebody is your relative and also a really close friend. So, right.
Yeah, she said they were close.
Yeah. And he looked to be, from what she's told me over the years, a real fun guy that we probably... Yeah. Enjoyed talking to you on here, I'm sure.
It was out of the blue too, right? He wasn't sick or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the full details, and I don't know that she wants to share that. I don't know. You know, I'm like her to a degree. I think I'm more private. I think we're all kind of private, but you know, in anything I do know, I don't want to share without asking.
Especially her. With something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, if she wants to talk about it, she can. She's posted a couple things on social media, but just wanted to say, you know, that we're sorry and for your loss, and we know that it sucks and it's rough. So especially this year, but at least she was able to go home and see her family. I think if it had happened January or February, she might not have been able to.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So, you know, things seem to be loosening up in that regard. But so what else is going on tonight? We're going to talk about a couple of things here, and we do have a new Rad Libs with the Red Box Troll. I think this will be Iris first.
Oh yeah? Yeah, I don't know about it.
Well, you played Mad Libs, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is the new Redbox Troll.
Red.
Yeah. Well, the Reginald D. Nubbinsworth III is dead. He died in the Redbox. They didn't feed him, and a lot of people weren't renting movies from Redbox. They were afraid to touch it because they didn't want to get COVID.
Yeah.
So, they, you know, he wasn't able to get out, and he, I believe, suffocated.
Suffocated in the box.
Yeah, I don't know really what happened. He drank his own urine and choked on it. But I'm not.
You don't know what happened. I don't know. I think there's something going on here. Is he really, really dead?
The new guy knows. The new guy knows. I've forgotten the new guy's name, so we'll just call him New Guy. Did we have a name for him? I don't remember.
There was one.
I don't know. Ian Nobensworth. This is his twin brother, buddy.
We did have one, but you know, I'm sure we'll get messages saying, "You idiots! It was blah blah blah."
Yeah, and I don't even remember the name of the first guy. Who was the first one?
RBT. I don't know. I think
he didn't have a name. That's right. He didn't have any. I don't know. Somebody, if you know, I'm looking at you, Roby. He's the historian of the show, Roby.
There's hardcore radios. They're going to correct us on this shit.
Oh, hey, guys, breaking news. I think Lisa Krause,
yeah,
and Dean are going to be recording a new Mike TV. It's been so long, I've forgotten the name of the podcast, but be on the lookout for that as well. So, boom, boom, boom.
What show are they doing?
I don't know what they're going to be talking about. Every time. Oh, they're very distracted. Every time I scroll up and down on the show document that Jeff puts out for us every week, the rundown, there's just a picture of Sarah Silverman clutching her boobs.
I've seen that, and we need to discuss that.
Well, what's there to discuss? Okay, Jeff, set it up.
Is there a way to share my screen so people can see this?
We'll probably get
in trouble if we share that, though.
She's not nude. You can't see nipple.
No, I can't share my screen. You got to do a bunch of permissions.
Well, just describe it.
Put it behind you, like the Shining picture. Can you do it without feeling what's behind there?
Let me see.
Yeah, so while Jeff's doing that.
Well, they'll just have to trust us on this one.
Well, the controversy is she tweeted out a picture last week. I guess people are showing their tits to get people to vote or something.
Is that what that is? Is that what's going on?
Well, a bunch of comedians were getting naked to remind you to vote. Like, you can't escape being reminded to vote, you know, anywhere you go. The mailman. No, the mailman, the letter carrier. I was saying, Tim. Yeah, I know. With what's going on today, women's rights are just being stolen from them. So the bunch of comedians, and so she's in front of, I don't even know where the hell she is, but she's standing in front of a brick wall, and there's lots of pictures printed out and stuck to that wall. And last week, Larry Wax, my old boss, my old compadre from the Regular Guy show, tweeted, I don't care if she's naked, why is there a picture of Tim Andrews on her wall?
Oh, so Larry tweeted that out?
At first, yeah, and then Jeff?
Yeah. I can't find a picture.
Perpetuated it. Well, let me see if I can.
I looked at the picture today, and he's right. Why are you on her wall?
Okay, it isn't me.
I know. Come on. Let's all right. Sound like it's you.
It doesn't make. Okay, well.
It looks a lot like you, Tim.
It does look like me. At first, it looks like me in 2009 or 2008.
Yeah.
You know, with the hoodie and the messy hair, and I had those little round glasses, and of course, a cigarette dangling out of my mouth. Right. But it is not me. It is a comedian. Who did we say it was? I forget his name.
It's probably Steve Agee, but I say we say it to you.
Okay, it's me. Is he an actor or a comedian?
He's an actor and comedian.
Okay. I've never seen him or anything like that. So,
well, let's cut all this out and just say it's you back there on Sarah Silverman.
We're not cutting it out.
I'm fine.
It is me. It is me that is doing that.
That would be a mystery. Maybe she had a thing for you back in the day and you never knew.
No.
And, you know, she was on the show promoting her stuff, and she's been, you know, looking for pictures of you ever since and putting them on her wall. And then she was planning on skinning you alive.
Well, you know.
So you missed out on that.
It would be kind of cool to discover myself on somebody's wall, but I wouldn't want it to be her. I don't know what even happened to the picture. I think I deleted it.
But that would be like you to have a picture of you on somebody's wall with like those strings attached connecting, you know, crimes to other people. That would make sense to me.
Maybe there's a great comedian conspiracy that she's working on.
Yeah.
A la Utopia.
Her and Louis C.K. They're probably both in the middle of all that.
They're trying to find Artie Lang God, why can't I think of his name all of a sudden? Why can't I think of his name? Also, the Indian comedian Aziz Ansari. Oh. He's disappeared as well.
Has he?
I haven't seen hide nor hair of him.
Huh.
Not on TV, not on social media. I haven't seen
him. I think he was being Me Too'd, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a week Me Too by a girl who regretted going back to his place.
Ooh, well, maybe it got stronger and he's got a good PR person.
Louis showed up on the second episode of that Comedy Store documentary.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And it was done after all that shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
good for him. Good for him. Maybe he's finally going to be able to come back. I don't think he should be. So the mystery of Tim and Sarah Silverman's wall is that it is nothing. But it would be cool if it were.
We'll put the photo. Can we post the photo somewhere?
Yeah, we'll post it on Facebook and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and Dean can probably find it. Not Dean. See, I did this before. I did this a couple years ago, or last year at our Halloween, at our show for Dragon Con, the live one we did. Dustin. So I'm terribly sorry. Dustin will put it in there. What else has happened? Hey, Eddie Van Halen passed away. That's really out of nowhere. He was 65 years old. I guess he'd been battling cancer for quite a while, right?
Yeah, so it wasn't out of nowhere, but...
No, but I mean, we didn't know that he had gone into...
Well, he had the tongue cancer, what was it, like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they took off a piece of his tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if he was in total remission, but he pretty much was. And then he was just popping up here and there. But probably over the last 5 years or so, people would post pictures of him where they'd run into him somewhere. And he was not looking great.
No.
And, you know, they were keeping this news kind of out of the public. And then, when everybody got the news last week, it was pretty shocking, I guess.
Yeah.
65.
That sucks, man. 65 years old. And really, we're in the wheelhouse of the generation that liked old Van Halen and also liked Midland Van Halen, which would be the same.
Hagar.
Yeah, Van Hagar and Van Halen, not Van Extreme. I never got into Van Extreme.
Well, most people our age were really into the first five albums.
Oh, hell yeah.
With Roth, you know. And then if you go Van Hagar, you know, there's a big controversy with Van Hagar and Van Halen fans, but probably like you. Records.
Well, actually, there were four or three with Hagar.
I don't know, because it was 5150, OU812, and then
right.
Foreign Lawful, Carnal Knowledge, and Balance.
Is he on Balance, or is that the guy from Extreme?
No, Extreme. It was called Van. It was called Van Halen 3.
Okay, so then there's four with Sammy Hagar. Okay.
Right. Now I was going to bring that up. You know, the guy who I feel sorry for the most with this whole thing with Eddie passing away is Gary Cherone from Extreme.
Why?
Because every article you read about Eddie Van Halen passing away, they go, well, you know, and they try to retrospect Van Halen and they say, well, they had two different singers. You know, they had David Lee Roth and they had Sammy Hagar. I'm like, yeah, nobody's going to talk about Gary at all.
What? You may know, but I challenge anyone to name a Van Halen song sung by Gary Cherone.
No, and he was only in there probably a year. However,
he didn't tour with them, did he? Did they tour?
Yes, and that's what I was going to say was I went and saw that tour for one specific reason, which was the feedback I was getting at the time was Gary is a huge Halen fan, like we all were. Mm-hmm. He was younger. He's like our age probably. And he was picking the set list.
Oh,
so
okay.
He just handpicked like the greatest Van Halen set list ever.
Yeah.
And apparently – Alex and Eddie just said, yeah, gonna, we'll play whatever you want.
Uh-huh.
And they did. And I saw them at Lakewood. And all right, it wasn't like seeing Dave or Sammy. However, the set list for the Gary days was probably the best Van Halen set list you'll ever see at a live show.
I've only seen them once, actually. I saw Van Halen at Music Midtown, I guess it was 5 years ago. And it was, well, except for the bass player, it was the original lineup.
Right.
Wolf, I guess.
It was Eddie's son.
Yeah. He was playing bass instead of Michael Anthony, but it was really cool. It was a great show. I thought David Lee Roth was still a showman, but I've seen him before. I saw him and Sammy together. Were you at that, Jeff? Oh. At Lakewood? Or were you?
I didn't see that one, but I saw the 07 tour with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. You know, they all played well. You got to get used to seeing Dave the way he looks, you know, and not like the old days.
He had the long hair. In the early 2000s, he had plugs and a wig, but he looked old. And I remember it was such a change in demographics because he had the bottle of Jack and he was shaking it like it was his moneymaker and dribbling it on people in the front row.
Geez, yeah.
These girls were young and they weren't like excited about it. They were mad. Like, ew, yuck, he's a gross old man. Were they touring with Sammy in 2001 and ended up canceling?
I don't know.
Because they were supposed to be in town the same weekend as, it wasn't Phil and Friends, was it? It was Further. It might've been Further. And Sammy came out and did the encore. He did Loose Lucy with Bob Weir. And
no way.
Yeah.
And you saw that?
No, I left.
Wow. Why?
It must have been 2003 because my back hurt.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't know Sammy Hagar was there. I would have waited and stayed. But they did Loose Lucy, and I think he did one of his songs. So.
See, Sammy Hagar's a guy. If you ever said to me, is there a guy on earth you could think of you'd love to trade places with? I think Sammy would be pretty high on my list.
Why is that?
He just seems like he's got an amazing life. He owns a tequila company, lives out in Cabo Wabo.
Mm-hmm.
He's mega billionaire.
Doesn't seem like he's all fucked up on drugs either.
That, he's got a great family. And he seems to really be enjoying himself. Every time you see him, he's on the beach, he's in flip-flops, and he's got $1 zillion. So, yeah, I'd go for that. And he's playing music.
Well, good for Sammy. I love Sammy.
Yeah, good for Sammy.
Another passing that was just announced today, actually. Conchita Farrell. Is that how you say her name? Conchita?
Who's that?
Conchita Farrell.
We
mentioned her on the show a couple weeks ago. She was on the original. She's been in a ton of stuff. You'd know her if you saw her face, Ira. She was the housekeeper on 2.5 Men, right? Most recently.
Yeah.
A sassy housekeeper. And in fact, Charlie Sheen tweeted something about it earlier today. But she was on the original ER with Elliot Gould and George Clooney and among other people. And Mary McDonnell from Battlestar Galactica and Dances with Wolves. But anyway, she was on that. She was always like that sassy, sarcastic side character actor on sitcoms and stuff throughout the 70s, 80s and whatever. But she was pretty cool. I thought she was very funny. So rest in peace. Did not know she was sick, so
she had a heart attack a while back, and she's been in rough shape since then.
Getting back to Eddie Murphy, getting back to Eddie Van Halen for a second. Did you guys see David Crosby's tweet?
No, about Eddie.
Yeah, somebody had asked David Crosby, and by the way, David Crosby is a prolific tweeter. Okay, he tweets all day. People ask him to rate their joints, their hand rolled joints, and he's pretty.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Sarcastic.
Yeah.
So somebody asked him about Eddie Van. What do you think of Eddie Van Halen? And he replied, "Meh." And everybody lost their shit.
Really?
Yeah, but he didn't. He wasn't thinking, "Oh, Eddie died." He was like, "What do you think of him as a guitar player?" So he didn't like.
Oh yeah.
Van Halen, which, okay, that's
sure
not for everybody.
Makes sense.
Right, it makes sense. He's in the Birds and CSN and all that, but he got so much shit on Twitter. It was D. Snyder was giving him shit.
D. Snyder said I'd never liked David Cross or a stupid mustache.
Yeah, or a stupid mustache. And some guy from Testament. I don't know who the fuck they are. I mean, I know who they are, but I don't really know that I know anything by them. Said something to him as well. But, he's apologized profusely. Not that he should have to, because he wasn't talking about the man or celebrating that Eddie had died. But he was just, I don't like Van Halen, so. What else is going on?
Yeah, Eddie, one more thing on that. He was just, not that I've thought about seeing him that much in the past probably 5 to 10 years, but it was just always one of those. Van Halen was such a part of my childhood. I know those albums back and forth, like the back of my hand. I guess he was just always somebody I thought I'd see live again. Mm-hmm. And when one of those comes up, like somebody from your childhood that just cuts short like that, it's like, well, then that's that. I'm not going to see that again.
We're getting to that age, too.
Yeah. I probably like that with Jerry back in the day.
Yeah. Well, we were young when he died. I was 25, 24, actually.
It was 95, something like that?
Yeah, 95. That summer we lost him, Mickey Mantle, and George Burns.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. You know, so I still have the newspaper covers from all of it. What was I going to say? I used to say that Eddie Van Halen looked like Don Mattingly back in the 80s. They looked similar to each other.
I can see that.
And tribute to Eddie Van Halen. I've been watching old episodes of One Day at a Time on Pluto TV.
Because
of
Valerie Bertinelli.
Yeah, that season without Julie. That's such a terrible season without what's her face? I forget her last name. Our Mama's and the Papa's chick. What's her name?
Oh,
Michelle Phillips. Something.
There you go.
It's not Michelle though, is it? Michelle Phillips is the mother.
Wilson Phillips.
Mackenzie. There we go.
Mackenzie. There you go. Well, and then speaking of TV and film. One more thing with Eddie. You guys know the movie The Wildlife, right?
Yeah.
Bill Penn and the guy from Weird Science, and a great 80s movie, The Wildlife. Eddie did all of the music for that soundtrack.
Eddie, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I remember I found that out back in the day, you know, way back, and I found it on cassette, The Wildlife soundtrack. And if you listen, you know, there's other tunes on there like Bananarama songs and stuff, but then the whole score of that movie is all Eddie Van Halen stuff, and it's amazing. It's awesome. So back, look for that.
Back in high school, Jeff adopted the Chris Penn catchphrase for a couple of months in school. You remember
it's
that?
Casual.
That's casual.
Casual. It's casual.
If you guys, if you radios haven't seen The Wildlife, go back and see that movie.
Yeah, we talked about that. Well, we didn't talk about it. I tweeted about it last week because it was Chris Penn's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know because I'm researching every day when all these birthdays are. Sammy Hagar's birthday is today as we were recording.
Really?
Or it might have been yesterday. And then David Lee Roth's birthday was Friday or sometime over the weekend. So, I mean, they're very similar to each other.
Weird.
So what else is new?
Gary Sharon doesn't have a birthday.
No, he was never born.
Nobody. We're not supposed to talk about Gary Sharon, apparently, according to the media. Poor Gary.
More than words. You guys talk about whatever you want for a few minutes, but keep it clean. I got to go pee.
Oh, really? That's what's going on?
Why not? Hey, you know, this is real life.
Hey, let's talk.
You were in the stabbing cabin this weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's not interesting, though. I went to the woods. Whatever. I went to the mountains. Let's talk TV, man. What's with Glow? You don't think Tim doesn't want to talk about Glow?
And they canceled it because of COVID.
I know, but I don't know.
Teenage Bounty Hunters, which had also got renewed.
But why would they cancel shows and not go back to them if they know they're going to have an audience for it? Like Glow was a popular show, right?
I think they had to pay them to hold.
Oh, really?
Not make the season. You know, if they were going to come back to it later on,
yeah,
they had to keep their contracts or whatever.
They were like keeping them on retainer.
Yeah, something like that.
Ooh, what are you talking about?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Glow being canceled?
Yeah, that's another.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I started talking about it, because I figured you didn't care about it.
That's like why Deadwood got canceled, because everybody wanted to make more, but HBO had to. It wasn't because of COVID, but HBO didn't want to pay to keep everybody.
Oh, and they were all doing other shit?
Oh, they all wanted to do other shit, but they wanted to keep doing Deadwood.
Right.
But HBO had to keep their contracts or whatever, so.
I did love that show, Glow, though. I mean, and I didn't know a lot of people that were into it, but it was a good show.
It was entertaining as fuck. It was a good show.
And it was supposed to come back for a final season. It would have been nice to see what happened to the characters.
Right.
I hope they make a movie or something eventually.
You know, Mark Maron was pretty bummed out.
Yeah. Yeah, he got really attached to it, and he was great on that show, I have to admit.
Yeah, you know what? He's a very good actor.
He is, and he, you know, you wouldn't expect it.
Believable in the role and you know, acerbic and ick, you know, an amplified version of himself.
But Netflix has a shit ton of money. I don't know why they're not just paying, because Tyler Perry, for all his productions, he just gave all his productions an extra $1 million for COVID shit.
Really?
For the COVID compliance officers and for plexiglass and for.
Because Tyler's awesome.
Dressing rooms and hand sanitizer all over the place and putting people in the bubble.
Yeah, see, this is why I'm not getting calls now.
Maybe you will. Maybe you will.
No, I'm kidding.
But Netflix has a shit ton of money.
You're right. That's why I think the Glow thing is weird. Like, I feel like something else was going on there. You know, like a bunch of other shows are coming back.
Yeah, like if Marin or Allison Brie or somebody said, I don't want to come back because of COVID, then that would be a reason. But it seemed like both of them really wanted to come back.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know.
Or maybe they could finance it themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on what studio owns it.
It's a big production.
Yeah.
A lot of shit that I like has been canceled too. I mean, we've talked about it already. The Venture Brothers is canceled, and then Adult Swim took a bunch of episodes of shows off of their platform because they're pussies.
There's no reason for Venture Brothers to be canceled because animation can still go on during this whole thing.
Right, you could be in an isolation booth doing audio. I mean,
Yeah, and there's no reason to take down episodes of cartoons either. Like, what was it? Shake Like Me, which is one of the funniest episodes. Anything with Boxy Brown in it from Aqua Teen is gone. What's that show that was based on the comic strip? The kid that lives with his granddad in the suburbs, but all right, it's a black animated show.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that. I was trying to remember the name of the show. Point out the fact that the characters are all African American, which is an extremely funny show. Anytime I've seen it, it was really, really good. I think Ed Asner was on it. Interesting show. But that's gone too. It's too problematic. It might upset some people. Oh, no, like Bill Burr upset every woman in the country on Saturday.
Oh, man, I don't watch Saturday Night Live too much, but we watched it the next day. That was a great opening thing.
Yeah, his monologue was hilarious. And
right away, the first thing I said was, well, he's super canceled.
No, he's not canceled, but white women are upset.
Oh, of course. Oh,
everybody was upset. That was what was so great about it.
Mm-hmm. What?
How everybody was upset.
Oh, yeah. And he knew. He knew that was going to happen.
And there's no way he really believes that Rick Moranis deserves to be punched in the face.
No, but it was something funny to say.
I know. It was hilarious.
We're back, baby. That was very funny.
Well, and the other thing about Bill Burr's thing is I don't think he was saying those things to be controversial and to get a reaction. He was just doing his act. I mean, he was doing what he does, which is great. He wasn't backing down. Fuck it.
That's his fucking thing, man.
Yeah.
So you guys watched the Boys finale?
Well, yep. All right. I got to say something about the Boys. I'm not caught up, but I was thinking about noping the Boys. What do you think? Why?
Oh, go ahead. Explain.
Has it been good?
Yeah, but explain yourself. What turned you off?
I don't know. I think I got to episode 5, maybe.
Okay.
And I don't know. It hasn't been doing it for me this season. But you guys are into it, right?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. Why, you don't like Stormfront?
No, I like Stormfront. I don't know what it is. I haven't been super ecstatic about. I think it's the writing. I think it's the other girl, the Asian girl, that whole storyline. I didn't really care too much about. And
now, see, I like her, and I like Frenchie. I like their dynamic too.
Well, and Frenchie, I'm not crazy about that either. That whole thing just seems a little too sentimental and sappy to me.
Stick with it, because next season they're going to take Compound V.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were taking it already.
You see no, they're not. You see at the end of, well, I guess I can't spoil it. Are you going to watch it or no?
I'm going to watch it, but you can spoil it. I don't give a shit.
Well, at the end of the finale,
they
say, why don't you boys come on board and work for us? And officially become the Boys. So in the comic book, they're the Boys or whatever. That's their group. But that doesn't happen until, I think, the end of the last episode. But the finale was great. It was a really cool way to wrap it up, and we're not going to spoil it for you or for anyone else.
All right, good. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep going because, actually, there's not a ton of other shit that I'm watching right now. So
me either.
I'll keep going on that one.
I am watching Fargo, but I haven't watched the most recent one. You guys into that?
Yeah, it's been great so far. Yeah,
it good? Because I've watched the first episode. And the only reason I haven't continued is because I have AT&T Now, mm-hmm. And I'm DVRing it, and it's been fucking up a lot, and I'm getting super frustrated. So I'm watching an episode.
On demand?
I don't think so. Well, I'm sure they do.
Everything has to have that, you wouldn't pay for a cable thing that didn't.
No. Well, and we're paying very little for it because I happen to have somebody in the household that works for AT&T. Nice. So,
ace.
Yeah, and that's why we're doing it. So yeah, I haven't watched it. Only because I've been frustrated with the technology, but it's been good. I'm happy to hear that it's been good though.
Yeah, it's better than the last two seasons, definitely.
Good.
Yeah, it's really redeemed itself. Wait, season 2 was what? Is this season 4 or 5?
This is 4.
4.
All right, I like season 2 a lot. That's the one with Ted Danson and not Matt Damon,
right?
And then I didn't really care for season 3
with Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Didn't right?
It wasn't terrible. But you played the twins.
Played the twins, which it was an interesting premise, but it never really, it wasn't that great.
No. This one has that incredible actress. She's new to me. She's an Irish chick, the nurse who has Munchausen syndrome.
Yes.
And in the latest episode, it won't spoil anything, but she puts Ipecac in a in some pie and to hilarious results.
Yeah, she's good.
She seems to be the only one from Minnesota.
And then I started watching that, just as an aside because of her, I started watching that Charlie Kaufman movie. What's it called? I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Oh, is that she in that?
She's like the main girl in that one. And I haven't finished that either, but I was like, oh, I never saw this girl before. And now she's in two things that I'm watching.
Boy, that's a movie or a series?
It's a movie. A really long movie.
Yeah.
Not good.
Did you watch it, Jeff?
I did.
And were you like, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Cause I was starting to watch it and I was within the first half hour and I was debating whether to continue or not.
No, I continued it. It would be better if it was like 90 minutes long because the payoff is not worth sitting through that length of the movie.
All right.
Professor Lupin is in it.
Who?
Professor Lupin.
Yeah.
Who's that?
He was Professor Lupin from Harry Potter, the werewolf.
He plays the dad, and the chick from the United States of Terror plays the mom.
Huh.
Hey, I'm looking at it right now.
Also, Fat Matt Damon's in it.
Yeah,
not Matt Damon. No, what do we call him? Meth Damon?
Meth Damon.
Meth Damon.
But the payoff of the twist or whatever is not worth sitting through the entire movie.
Hmm. Okay.
I felt so disappointed at the end when they revealed it. I was like, really? I got through 3 hours for this?
Well, you could always watch old Johnny Carson episodes on Pluto TV like I do.
That must be fun.
It is a lot of fun. I love Pluto TV, man. You put that on there. And
I've seen that.
Three's Company's on all day long.
They used to have Barney Miller on there. I don't know if they still do.
I haven't seen it, but maybe it's on overnights or something. They have that game show, Buzzer.
Buzzer channel's good.
Yeah, you can watch Match Game with, or no, you can watch Hollywood Squares with Bowser from Sha Na Na.
That's all those old game shows from when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm. Sale of the Century. That was a good show. So, okay, you guys ready to play some Red Libs?
Give it a shot.
Okay. All right. So
can we take a break for a second? I got to get a charger cable for my computer here.
Yeah.
I realize I'm running low.
Okay.
So I'll be right back.
All right.
I'm misspeaking.
Here's some horrible drawings of Paul Williams.
The one on the top right is good.
Yeah, why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side?
Like this, I like this one down here looks like him a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, yeah, they all do.
What's this?
You and me against the world. And all the others turn their backs and walk away.
Old fashioned love song.
Coming down and sweep up harmony.
What's the song he wrote for the Carpenters? That was,
we've only just begun sharing horizons that are new. I hope it's a chocolate chip cookie, Daddy.
All right, so you guys ready? We're going to play a game. So, Ira, basically how this works is... Yeah.
Excuse me. Hello, yes, it's the Red Box Troll. I'll explain it to you so that you can understand, because you're a Philistine. And when we finish, I have to go hang out with my 16-year-old Red Box Lolita. So, did I say that out loud?
You just said hang out, though, at least.
Well, Sue Lyon is her name.
Yeah.
Like the original Lolita. And I am going to get rid of Shelley Winters as quickly as possible. That means excising all the copies of Towering Inferno from the Red Box. So basically, Ira, the way this works is I will ask you for such as a verb, right? You know,
sure. How to
play Mad Libs.
Yes, of course.
And what it ends up being is that it's a movie synopsis. And then at the end, I read it and you guess the movie. How's that sound?
Oh, it sounds awesome. I can't wait.
And because it's spooky season, it's a scary movie. Spooky movie. So we take turns. And since you haven't been here, Ira, I will let you go first. Occupation.
Zamboni driver.
Sometimes good. Make me laugh. That one did. Jeff, type of crime?
Murder.
Wait a second.
That'll work.
That's the actual word. A different crime. Okay. Ira, a color.
What'd you say?
A color.
Oh, a color. Let's go with lavender.
Oh, that's a good one. Jeff, body part?
Vagina.
Oh, very nice. Ira, a type of toy. A toy.
Viewfinder. Right, you know those things with the
Viewmaster.
You press the button and the
master, yes. Yeah. Viewmaster. Jeff, a boy's name.
Andrew.
Jeff.
Andrew. Ira, I need a verb.
A verb. Punches. Punch? Punch.
Yes. Okay. Yes, that'll work.
Is that going to work?
Jeff, an age.
69, dude.
Yes. Ira, relative, a name, I mean, a type of relative that you might have.
Let's go with second cousin.
Okay. Hang on. I mean, listen. Yes. Jeff, a service job title.
Prostitute.
Okay.
That's a service, all right.
It's interesting. Let me write down Viewmaster again. Ira, plural noun.
Boners.
Okay.
What?
I think there's a few more. Jeff, I need an adjective.
Purple.
Okay.
I like this game already.
Ira, last but not least, give me a noun.
Tomato.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so are you ready for me to read it?
Oh, I cannot wait.
Okay, here we go. Gunned down by Zamboni driver Mike Forrest, dying rapist Charles Lee Ray uses lavender magic to put his vagina inside a Viewmaster named Andrew, which Karen Barclay then punches for her 69-year-old second cousin Andy. When Andrew kills Andy's prostitute, the boy realizes the Viewmaster is alive and tries to warn Boners. But he's institutionalized. Karen must convince the prostitute of the purple Viewmaster's intentions before Andy becomes Andrew's next tomato. Do you know the movie?
Child's Play.
Yes, from 1980. Oh. Child's Play, starring Chris Sarandon, Brad Dourif, and Catherine Hicks. Thank you.
Very good.
That was funny, wasn't it? Yeah. You get the right... What?
I said Mad Libs is always, that's always gold.
Yeah, you know, when you're a 12-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when you're young and you fart. Boogers, fuck.
I only like Child's Play movies with Jennifer Tilly in them.
Yeah, I like Jennifer Tilly.
I recently watched with the kids the a Treehouse of Horror with where Krusty is the doll. Krusty the doll is like,
yes. Those episodes are so fucking great. They're still
funny. My daughter's been going around the house like, oh, I see your problem right here. Somebody set this thing to evil.
Evil. What is one of the lines he says as Krusty?
You Homer Simpson, I'm going to kill you.
You Homer Simpson, I'm going
to
kill you.
Marge, the doll's been talking to me and the toaster's been laughing at me.
One of my favorite Homer, and it's not from a treehouse, but it's when Sideshow, it's Cape, the Cape Fear.
Oh, paper. I love that episode. Yeah.
Hey, Bart, check out the new chain charges. Oh, what is it? Hey, check out the new hockey mask and chain charges.
Hey, Bart, you want some brownies before you go to bed?
says the Bart, the.
Nobody who speaks German could be an evil man.
An evil man. Before I send you to hell, I will send you to heaven.
To heaven? Yeah. Guess who? Mavis? I'm going to go. Where do you watch those?
They're all on Disney Plus, actually.
Yeah, everything's on Disney Plus now.
Yeah. I guess you guys wouldn't have that anymore until Mandalorian comes back in a month.
Oh, I have it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I have all that shit, tough guy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be getting Disney Plus again soon.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't gotten it already for Hamilton.
Ira, do you know this? The Jerky Boy is putting out a new album at the end of the month, or in November, I mean.
I know it now, mostly because of you guys.
Yeah. Jeff's trying to get him to come on, but he's kind of busy.
And what is the deal with this? So this is something they recorded brand new, or he recorded brand new?
Yeah, he told us last time we spoke to him that he was working on a new record.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? So
yeah.
Now we'll be able to hear it. And hopefully we'll be able to talk.
Now, the way I saw it advertised, though, on like Facebook, he said it's a new call. But is it a whole new album of calls?
No, he released a new call as a teaser, but there's a whole album coming out.
Okay.
Just going to be called The Jerky Boys.
Okay. Of all new stuff.
Well, a very funny call. Let's see. I didn't really watch much, Jeff. If you want to go ahead and my staff pick is the same as yours. I want everybody to get the opening act. Steve Burns' new movie. I want him to get that on video on demand Friday.
I watched all of Bert Kreischer's series that dropped today, The Cabin.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
What's it about?
That's some crazy shit. Like, he goes up into this cabin up in the woods in California, and he's supposed to be there, like, to have alone time and center himself and all this stuff, but he ends up calling people like Joey Diaz and Nikki Glaser and a bunch of other people to come up there and basically like just get high and sit in the hot tub and do crazy shit.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
I'll have to check it out. What else did you?
He's almost naked in every episode.
That's
what bothers me about Bert.
I saw it. I see he's sitting right there. Hey, there it is.
Yeah. I always see too much of Bert. That's the problem.
Yep.
Yeah, you see a whole lot of them in this.
I'll try it.
Anyway.
What else did I watch? I watched that new Walking Dead show. Okay.
World Beyond. That's on AMC.
Yeah.
Is that set long after the pandemic?
Yeah, it's 10 years they've been having zombies.
Okay.
But there's kind of like a twist with the people that took Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of tied into that whole thing.
Now, are there zombies in it?
Yeah. They call them empties on this show.
Empties?
Yeah.
Where's that?
It starts in Nebraska, but they're going from Nebraska to New York.
So can you start that show not having watched any of the last couple seasons of Walking Dead?
Yeah, I think so.
I might give that a shot. What's better, that or the original series?
Yeah, the original series is terrible now, but I'm waiting it out.
Yeah, you're a huge fan. Keep with it. Kind of like Dexter. The last two seasons were shit.
Yeah. So what else? Willie Nelson was on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast.
Yeah, was that good?
Yeah, that was good. Willie Nelson's fucking hilarious.
When did that? That must have come up like in the last couple of days, right?
Yeah, I think it dropped on Monday.
Yeah, that's great. I've been listening to that show a lot. I've also been listening to Smartless, which you recommended.
Yeah.
Which has been great. I love it.
Chandler was on that this week.
Who?
Yeah, how was that? Chandler.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good. Did you watch Hubie Halloween, Tim?
No, I haven't been able to watch that yet. Is it good?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah, I think I'll watch it this weekend. If you like The Sopranos, you know, I talk every week about the Talking Sopranos podcast. This week's guest is Ada Turturro.
Oh, yeah?
And she's fantastic. They do such great interviews with these people because they know them. And
she's going to be hilarious.
She is. She talks about getting into fights with James Gandolfini, but you learn so much about how they all know each other, how they all work together in New York prior to Sopranos. And And then they break down the episode, and those two have such a good rapport with each other. It's an enjoyable show. And I have to listen to Gilbert yet because Bob Costas is on it. And Jeff, you weren't finished, so I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's good. I want to listen to that Gilbert too. Because he talks about his show later and stuff, which I liked a lot.
Let's talk about Hubie Halloween next week on the show, because I'll have watched it by then, and I like Sandler, so I'm trying to get my wife to watch it with me. I keep bringing it up. She's like, oh, maybe. I said, you watched the Jennifer Aniston one?
There's a lot of other people in it besides Sandler, like Ray Liotta's in it.
Are you?
Wait, that's not Ray Liotta. See, I told you I was tired.
Huh. And
Jantix.
There you go.
A bunch of people are in it. You'll enjoy it. It's funny.
Okay. Rodney Allen Rippey, is he in it?
No.
Okay, that sucks.
But his whole family is in it.
Rodney Allen Rippey's family?
No, Sandler. Oh. His wife and his kids are all in it.
That's cool. Earlier in the show, when we were speaking to Steve Byrne, you brought up the documentary that's on Showtime right now, The Comedy Store. So there's two episodes? How many episodes?
Yeah, episodes so far.
Huh. And is it a series or is it just a short document?
No, it's a documentary. It's a documentary series.
Okay.
Episodes is going to be, but.
And it's on Showtime. All right.
Do you guys have Showtime?
I don't anymore. I got rid of it. I'm going to have to get it again.
Same with me. Well, and I wanted to check out that Ethan Hawke show that's on there now.
What's that?
You know what I'm talking about, Jeff?
No, I've heard that's good. The good Lord Bird or something. I haven't.
Yeah, everybody's going nuts about that, so I'm like, well, shit, I have to get Showtime again. I never even finished Billions because I canceled it.
Yeah, I didn't watch
Billions. Didn't make it all the way through season 5. They had to shut down because
COVID. Is that what happened?
Yeah,
well, I stopped even before that, but yeah, so now that Ethan Hawke show is on, which I want to check out, and I didn't even know about this Comedy Store thing, but now that that's going on, yeah, I definitely want to see that.
Yeah, you can see a lot of the stuff that they touched on from the series, like the strike and the dude getting killed.
Well, I listened to that book. Oh, I listened to the book that was made into that show.
I'm Dying Up Here. Yeah,
it was pretty much about the Comedy Store, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then I listened to that book that was based on. So yeah, I mean, I know all the stuff, but I haven't seen all the footage. So it'd be cool to see all that.
And there's all kinds of crazy shit that you don't hear in the book or whatever, like how Freddie Prinze wanted to kill John Travolta.
Why?
Because he was like the number one dude on like all the teen magazines and the heartthrob and everything. And then John Travolta came along and like stole his thunder. He literally took a crossbow, went to John Travolta's apartment and shot 3 arrows through his front door.
Holy shit. Was he home?
And Travolta wasn't home. And he came home like a couple weeks later and there were 3 fucking crossbow bolts in his door. He called the police.
Did it hit his hair? It didn't hit his hair, did it?
Shoot my hair. Why you always got to be shooting my hair?
They show like the police report, and they're like, to this day, he didn't know who did it, but now you know.
Wow. Who admitted to it?
The dude that went with him.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, because Freddie Prinze, that would have gone to the grave with him if the other guy hadn't talked to him about it. So yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess. Ira, you have some stuff you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Yeah, most of it we talked about. I mean, I haven't been on the show in a while, so I'm assuming you guys talked about Raised by Wolves.
Yeah, did you like it?
I did. Yeah, I mean, some pretty intense shit, you know, and mm-hmm. weird shit, and very Ridley Scottish.
Yes,
know, obviously.
Especially
the ending. That final episode was fucking amazing, I thought.
Yeah, and the very end, you're like, who the fuck are these people?
But yeah. Well, and so much stuff happens. You're like, okay, it could have gone one way, but it kept going the other.
Right.
But you guys all liked it, huh?
I did. Yeah. And I think Steph and Jeff liked it too. Yeah.
And they're signed up for another season already.
2 more.
I think it's already been renewed, and he's talking about 5 or 6 seasons.
I mean, it's a weird fucking show, though. You have to admit.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But it's good. It's different. It's something that you don't see.
Yeah, I've recommended it to a few people that are a little more mainstream. They're like, man, I don't know, the show is fucked up, you know. I'm like, look, just watch it, you know.
All right, watch Utopia instead.
And then I'm sure you guys talked about South Park Pandemic special.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, so I watched that, and I don't watch a lot of South Park. Even though I love South Park, I never get around to watching South Park. So I was like, oh, I want to watch this. And yeah, I was just dying. It was great.
It was hilarious, right? It's a special. That's why it was so good.
Yeah.
Hour long. So you have Utopia in here. Did you finish it?
No. And that was another one, just like The Boys. I don't know, man. I got through two episodes and I'm a little, the writing is a little weird to me. But do you guys like it?
I did.
Yeah, and so crazy
all the way through?
Yeah, crazy shit happens in every episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff started watching the UK version, which everybody says is better. Is it?
Yeah, I've only watched one of the UK version so far, but it's good.
Yeah, it's got a really interesting premise, and I was watching it the other night, and I was like, I don't know, it's borderline goofy, you know, but maybe it's not supposed to be, and it was one of those I didn't know how to feel about it. But yeah, I'll keep going. I know I'm very critical about shit.
Right. I think Rainn Williams makes it. I think Rainn Wilson makes it worthwhile. I think he does a great
job.
And as much as I disdain Cusack, he's all right in this.
Yeah. He was on a podcast recently. Who was he on? Cusack was on with somebody. Oh, shit. I can't remember who it was being interviewed. And it was a good interview, actually.
$2?
Huh?
The $2 podcast?
It may have been Marin.
$2. Was he on Marin? I'll listen to that.
Yeah, I think he was on Marin. It was pretty good. But yeah, of course.
Of course,
those guys, you know, share the same sensibilities politically, so that they meshed well. But yeah,
there's a way that you deliver it that's different. I expect it, Aaron. I don't care about what John.
They didn't get too hardcore with that stuff. And then my staff picked just real quickly. I've been listening to the Eddie Trunk podcast a lot, and you know who Eddie Trunk is, right? You know, and his podcast. I guess it's the same as what's on his serious show, but he interviews a lot of just old rock and roll guys. And so Charlie Starr, who's in this band Blackberry Smoke, an Atlanta-based band that I'm really into, that probably a lot of our listeners are into as well. You guys are familiar with Blackberry Smoke, right?
Yeah, I've seen him a couple times.
So I love those guys. And recently, so Capricorn Records and Capricorn Studios is in Macon, right? And that's what the Allman Brothers were on, and a bunch of other Georgia bands were on Capricorn. Widespread Panic was on there.
Isn't that a disco label?
Huh?
Wasn't Capricorn a disco label?
I don't think so.
It was all Southern. Casablanca. Okay, go ahead.
Right. It was all Southern rock. So they shut down the studio like 40 years ago. But the Almonds recorded all their stuff there, and Wet Willie, a bunch of other bands. So it's like a legendary studio. So Blackberry Smoke was just allowed to go into the studio and record an EP there of all Georgia band covers.
Ah, cool.
So, and it sounds friggin' amazing. So the first tune on there is Midnight Rider. And like, you know, whenever I see an Almonds cover, I'm like, ah, whatever. However, I listened to this and I was like, oh my God, this sounds so good.
You have to buy it on LP?
You can find it on anywhere. I found it on Apple Music.
Okay. Yeah. Then it would be on Spotify also. Cool.
Yeah. But it's just like six songs, and a few of them, the lead singer, Jimmy Hall of Wet Willie, sings on. He's got an amazing voice. So check it out. It's Blackberry Smoke. I think it's called Live from Capricorn Studios.
A lot of people have been dropping music. The Bruce Springsteen dropped a couple new singles. They're great.
Yeah.
And, the one, I forget the name of it, it's a really long song. It sounds like it came off the river. And you hear Little Steven in the background. Yeah, it's one of those epic Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band type of songs from the late 70s or early 70s. A lot of bands. Pretenders put out a new album that was really good.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. But nobody knows because they don't get played on the radio because they don't suck.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the other band that put out? Psychedelic Furs put out a new record.
Yeah.
Again, you don't know, but whatever. Yeah, if you got to sign up for Spotify, and then if you're old, they know who you are and go, he might like this one, you old fuck.
I'll have to do that since I am an old fuck.
Yes. Hmm. We're all old fucks. Hopefully, we will see Stephanie next week.
And she'll be back. Wish her well.
And please wish her well. And Ira, please come back whenever you like. We would love to do another game. The ride one was my favorite.
Oh, the with the cars. Yeah. I got to do a part two because there were so many cars I left out.
Well, as soon as you can do that, we'd love to have you back.
Okay. I will be here.
Thank you for being here tonight. We will. Ira will be joining us for this week's RLP recast, which you can get exclusively as a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. And this week we are doing a scene from The Exorcist.
but it's called something else.
Yes, right? It's called something else. The Hankersism. Because I cannot do the voice that you want me to do. I've tried and I can't do it.
Oh, yeah? Oh, so we're doing it.
Yeah, you could do it. Why don't you do it?
No!
Yeah, see, why don't you do it?
No!
And then I'll do the character you're going to do, I'll do is Hank Hill.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good. Because no! I was going to do Steve Buscemi.
You were?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to figure this out in between, and we're going to knock it out of the park. And if you want to see it, you got to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, patreon.com/TimAndrews. Until next week, please keep it canon.
And now we give a shout out to the rest of the donors. Aaron Roberts, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Malazzi, Brian Jackson, Brian Nix, Buck Monterey, Chris Cosentino, Dave Benson, Denise Reynolds, Gwyn Ketchum, Herb Lamb, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Turman, Jesse Rosinski, Mark Weiland, Randy Reeves, Robert Kearns, Kevin Stokes, Wayne Blair, Ashley Rose, Chris Knight, JW, Kevin Schwartz, Lou Caniglio, Mary Fouquet, Ryan Wilson, Sam Wells, Walt Murray, Bradley A. Schumpert, Brandon C. Pilcher, Dustin Lawler, Jason Heft, Nick Starks, Trent, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, David C. Funk, Lauren Calderman, Robert Haley, Robert Calderman, Sherry Dougherty, and Tim Slayton. Thank you all very much. We very much appreciate it, and thank you for sticking with us for so very long and all year in this crazy 2020. Radio Labyrinth is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Well, the four of us, occasionally three, sometimes four, sometimes three, and is produced by you. For a complete list of Radio Labyrinth's awesome Patreon sponsors, just look at the show notes. Our intro theme was produced and performed by John Mark Lindell. Keep it canon.